It's all right. Down the hall.
You'll help me through this one.
All right. It was pretty tough, right?
And it's been 2 months since we've had one.
Oh, no.
So, well, I'm going to go ahead and we'll call the meeting to order. This is a public hearing for the land use items that we just have. We have three different items tonight. And we have in attendance, including the youth and governance. I guess we just, again, the cheat sheet is helpful, so what's the next step, Andy? We just talk about the items here, or I know eventually we're going to ask about where the town was at on it.
Yeah, here, actually, I have a right here.
Someone gets a cup of coffee tomorrow.
And that down.
It's going to be more than a cup of coffee.
Well,
you want me to read it off?
You can do it if you want. That's fine.
Here's the reins.
First one, call the meeting to order. We announced the committee members present. Everybody's here. The agenda items, we talked about it being a public hearing. Yep. So this is the whole meeting's a public hearing. Petitioner? You're the petitioner?
I'm Dave Henderson.
Okay. And when you talk, we just need you to, for one time for the record, to state your name and address when you come up and talk about why you're making the petition here. I think that's the point of time where we're at here.
Yeah.
So you want to go ahead and read the first item here?
And just before we do, I'll show that we posted the agenda as a Class 2 notice in the Kenosha News. It was done on August 29th, September something. They didn't say exactly, but it was 2 weeks. And so that's the publication.
Okay.
And otherwise, besides that, disappearing, being right here, the agenda.
I guess the other thing I can say, what I understand, this is a three-step process. So.
Right. So we have an item tonight, which is a comp plan, a rezone, and a CSM. And so, I mean, I'll read everything out and read it into the record, and then I'll let the petitioner kind of get in and provide his information. So for the comprehensive plan, we have David P. and Diane Henderson, Revocable Trust, 22832 Church Road, Candaceville, Wisconsin, 53159 owner. David Henderson, 22832 Church Road, Candaceville, Wisconsin, 53139 agent. Request an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from agricultural, rural, and rural density residential to agricultural and rural density residential and suburban density residential on tax parcel number 604-119-132-0100, located in the town of Randall. So with that, we'll just start out with the comprehensive plan map. I'll bring this on over for everyone to see. And so we have the map here, which shows the property here, this triangle-shaped property, which has the agricultural and rural density residential designation. And the request tonight is just for this small triangle here to be changed to the suburban density residential, which is the same as what's over here, kitty corner across the street. And the reason for it, and then the rezone that will come up with that, and we'll get to that later, but I also want to show you the CSM, because then that'll make sense to you exactly why this request is coming before the committee, because the petitioner is looking at subdividing the property. And the land division is here. Now this is on an angle. If you just kind of turn it to the left once, you can see the north arrow is here. They're looking at having this 3-acre parcel here to have the comp plan change and then allow for the rezone for that, and then allowing for the remainder of the property, which is just over 10 acres, to exist as it is. And so with that being the case, we'll have the petitioner come up to the table. You can state again your name and address, and just run everyone through why you're going through this process and what the end goal is.
Okay, again, my name is Dave Henderson. I live at 22832 Church Road in Kansasville, Wisconsin. I'm here tonight to petition for this change in the zoning. Basically, I have about 14 and a half acres, making a smaller lot, which has about 425 feet of frontage, which will be just over 3 acres. And then the remaining lot, it's I think around 10 and a half acres, which has I think about 470 feet of frontage. So they're pretty well spread out. As you can see on the map there that's shown on the screen, that it really makes a nice big parcel of the farm. It's currently the land, both of these lands are being rented out right now to a farmer, and we're still looking at continuing to do that. Really looking at the flexibility down the road to be able to build on both those parcels. So the immediate plans, there's nothing imminent right now changing, but again, looking for the flexibility down the road to have everything buttoned up and ready to go if I ever do decide to sell any. I can answer any other questions that you guys might have.
Maybe just why you're asking for the comprehensive plan change for a lot that would be less than what the current designation is, which is basically 5 acres or more.
Yeah, again, if you look at the 10 and a half acres, how that's laid out, it's pretty much a straight shot for farming. There's no turns or anything that would be resulting in that. The back end of that 3 acre lot has a little bit of wetlands associated with it as well. But I think with the frontage that I have, the 425 feet on the 3 acre parcel, it's a lot wider than probably most of the 5 acre lots that are get approved out here by Kenosha County. So I think that's, and it's the way they're spread out, I think it's going to be sufficient, and people won't be on top of each other with that frontage I have.
This map is the rezone map, but it shows what you were talking about with
any right. Other questions?
And that gives it a sense of scale, because there is the house just to the north there in the town of Wheeland. There's two houses there. So it's following with a current use that's already happening.
If you look at the frontage of what's proposed, that's highlighted in that yellow, that frontage on that 3 acre parcel is actually wider than it looks like those other two parcels above it as well.
This is about a 20-acre parcel. This is a 3-acre parcel here.
And you just own the triangle-shaped parcel to
yes.
the north of the old railroad grade there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so the two combined is about 14 and a half acres. I have probably close to 900 feet of frontage with that parcel. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess I should ask you like this. Because you're going to the 3 acres, there's another parcel that's 3 acres there. The zoning, and then this is more of a question for Andy here. It changes to the suburban zoning when you go below the 5 acres.
So then
is that
the second request on the agenda is for the rezoning to
right.
change to the R2 zoning.
But one's driving the other one right now. The size of the land is actually... lot is driving the rezone and the comprehensive.
I think the property is sized that it could have been subdivided differently and not have a change.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that the rural density allows for 5 acres up to 34 acres.
Is there a major concern why, if it by doing the zoning? Allowing the change?
From our perspective, I mean, I think there's an argument that can be made both ways. Because, I mean, we're on the town line here, and you have along this road, you have a mix of 5 acres, over 10 acres, 2 acres, 3 acres. So this from here on south, everything just kind of opens up. I mean, there's really no development going on.
Right.
So I guess that's where I think, and Randall can kind of explain when we get to that, the reason why they're supportive of this. But I think an argument can be made in both ways, is that the intent was to have larger lots, but it's abutting properties that have smaller lots. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily the lot right to the north, but north of that, which I did actually open up my mapping because I thought this might come up.
Right.
So let me pull this up here.
And I think across the road to the west, at the kitty corner to the northwest, there that's all state land, right?
Yeah, the DNR owns across the street.
So if I kind of zooming out here, see now you can kind of see the, once it catches up, you got the property down here in question, and then you
there's a lot of going north. Around that.
Yep, I got to turn off this.
You can give me let your kids play with this? They color that?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can give me a demo on how it worked in the new segment. I went out there the other day and it's like, oh, this changed.
So that will change. Okay. But there's smaller lots as you move up because you get around Lily Lake.
And they get to be postage stamp size when you're around Lily Lake.
So
yeah, there's actually like a subdivision.
This is kind of the transition zone, really, the town line is right at that point.
Right.
Unfortunately, that wasn't as helpful as I was hoping, because it's not.
So, Andy, what you're saying is it would not create an inordinance or a nonconformity in that parcel. There are other parcels similar.
In the area.
In the area.
Right. And I'll have to let you know is that we will read into the record email from the neighbor to the north.
For work on.
When we get there, I'll let you know.
Okay. Any other comments, questions from the committee members or from youth and governance at all? Okay. One of the things that's important on this, as we always think, is what's the town's view on this? So I know, Andy, you've got that. I know the chairperson is here, so.
Yeah, and I can read that into record. Paula, would you like to step forward and just state your name and
Paula Soderman, Tom Randall chair, and this is Bill Westerlund. He is my planning commission chair. The town of Randall, when we deliberated over this, I think that the easiest answer of why both boards approved this unanimously was because it was not an unreasonable request. If he had come to us and wanted something smaller than 3 acres, a lot of people will come to us from time to time and want only 1 acre or even smaller sometimes, and that is what we would consider as an unreasonable request. But we thought because of the wetlands and because of the farming and because of all the reasons that he stated, that going to 3 acres from 5 was not an unreasonable request. And that's why we gave our approval. And also for some of the reasons you said is that it is kind of a mixed use when you head to the Weedland side where there are a lot smaller lots.
Right. And there's a lot of wetlands along there too.
Right.
So it really chops up kind of the parcels and how it looks and stuff like that.
And I'll also say that several years ago when you started the process, he had come to us with a conceptual plan and gave us a couple choices, and I don't exactly remember what those choices were, but this was at the conceptual stage of it, the plan that at that time also we thought was the best plan of the choices he had given us. So he did give us multiple choices, and I don't remember how many.
Yeah, the other one had probably was more like a subdivision. It was probably
right.
6 or 7 lots that were back there.
And that was
talking to the Kenosha County Planning Commission, there was some pushback on that, and again, I was just trying to get some direction, and this was the one that everyone seemed to want to land on, which I was fine with, so this is what we pursued.
Because you were going to put in proposing a road.
Yeah, I was actually looking to put it in like a cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac road.
Putting a bunch of places back there where you'd have, you know, I don't remember the exact number, but maybe it was 8 lots or something like that, where they were 2-3 acre lots that were back there. I don't think Paula grabbed her chest, but no one was really too keen on that idea, which, I pitched a couple of different options, and this was the one that was a lot more agreeable to all parties involved, so that's where we landed on it. We did the preliminary CSM lab.
Okay.
There's also been perk tests, and both of these have passed for the perk test, and we're not like delineations. It's been concluded as well.
I did see that on the preliminary CSM here that there's the three SBs, which would indicate soil moorings on here. So
that's correct.
So I didn't see that in the preliminary packet information. So is that did you get the perk test out there? Does it?
Yeah, they passed. Both lots had passed for the perk test.
Okay. I would think for the size there, but you wonder in the low areas sometimes. So. Okay.
Over here.
Another question here?
Yeah, I've got a question. I want to thank the Madam Chair for speaking on behalf of this property. Can I hear a little bit from your planner on his personal views on this?
Of course. Do you want to give a perspective on the Planning Commission?
Yeah, the entire Planning Commission reviewed this, and some of them were in the previous meetings, and they felt this was the best outcome, and there weren't any objections raised by any of the members on the commission. So we sent a favorable recommendation to the town board. It was unanimous.
So we got favorable from you people and favorable from you and the neighboring town also, so it's, everything's covered here.
Well, the neighboring town we would not be involved in.
Perfect. So I'm good with this.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
And because we're on the plan amendment right now, we aren't talking about the zoning or the conditions for the approval or anything like that. So this is just the plan, comprehensive plan amendment, and this would be a roll call vote that we would need to take on this?
It would be.
I don't know if this is the right time to add this, but I also did get a call from the neighbor who you may have a statement from, but it was after the fact of after our meeting. It was actually yesterday.
Yeah, and when we get to him, we'll do a for and against, and then I'll read this.
It has to be after the...
No, we're going to do that. We should do that next.
Oh, right. I see. I understand what you're saying. Yep. So, okay. So that means there's no more questions from the committee. So now is there anybody else here from the public that wants to speak for this petition? Is there anybody else here that wants to speak for this petition? Not seeing any. Is there anybody from the public wishing to speak against the petition? I'll stop at once so that Andy can, I think that gives us her answer.
Okay, so here it is. I'll just read it out loud so it's in the record. To whom it may concern, this is an email from Kevin Jordan the second that I received today at 4:03 p.m. Today being the 13th. To whom it may concern, my apologies for the delayed communication. I had planned on attending the hearing taking place Wednesday, 9/13/2023 in person, but I'm not able. I was also unaware of the meeting held by the Town of Randall Joint Town Planning Commission and Town Board on August 24th, 2023, so was unable to voice my concerns then. I received a letter from the County of Kenosha dated August 29th, 2023. Thus, I would like to take this moment to say I oppose the petitioner's proposal for parcel number 604-119-132-0100 to rezone from agricultural and rural density residential to suburban density residential. Prior to purchasing and moving my family to my land 7 years ago, I requested information regarding the land and surrounding area. Raising my family in a rural area was and continues to be of utmost importance. I was informed that the property was zoned for 5-acre minimum lots, which fit our lifestyle requirements. Changing the current density from rural to suburban will change the demographic of the rural setting. A concern specifically with this proposal includes a potential future dwelling and smaller lot size causing impeded access for the farmers in the area. Thank you, Kevin Jordan II.
Okay. Is there anybody else here to speak against this petition? Is there anybody else here to speak against the petition? Seeing no others, we're going to close on the that part of it. And then the next step is to have Andy read the town recommendation, but we've already gotten that. So we've got that checked off the list here. And then do we have a motion from the committee for this?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Andy, the letter that you read, where do they live? Which town or?
This property right here.
Okay.
It's a 20-acre parcel that's on this, but this property right here is 20 acres. And then cut out of it is this, I think it's a 2.5-acre parcel there.
And what jurisdiction is that?
That's in the town of Wheeland.
Wheeland, okay. Thank you.
if you were to look at the house that they have there, I would venture to say it's probably less than 3 acres that is actually residential area. And the frontage they have there is less than the frontage is being proposed here.
Yeah, there's a lot of wetlands to the north, makes the lots very deceiving. Some of the lots are fairly large, but the area that's actually usable is much less. And that actual parcel is kind of one where you can kind of see there's a huge chunk of wetlands taken out of the middle, and then there's developable land to the east and west. And I was going to try to show you that to the north too, that you can see how the wetlands weaves in this out, and that's some of the reasons that creates the diversity of the lot sizes.
It's a unique shaped parcel of land because of the railroad right of way that used to go through there. So it's really an interesting, you know, you don't see too many triangle shaped parcels. So, you know, it's, I agree with you, there probably could be a little bit different way to slice the pie up, but from what I've heard from the town, and that the town's in favor of it, that they went back and forth a few times, it seems to be a reasonable request.
Well, I don't know if Andy can answer to that, but when Jordan II moved in, which we don't know, did he move in after the other house was already up to the north of him, then at 2.5 acres? Which one came first, this one or that one?
I don't know which house came first, but that parcel has been there a while.
For a while. So that's always been a 2.5 acre or whatever.
I believe the other house was there first. You could probably click on the taxes and see.
So, to me, the other point wasn't a valid point for me.
Tomczewski's house there. Yeah, he's been there a while.
The other question along the line of Ed's is, he cites accessibility for farm equipment and agricultural use, and I don't see where there's an access issue. It's completely accessible from the roadway.
There's no problem.
Yeah.
There it goes.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, in that 3-acre parcel that you want to rezone to R2 suburban, what do you plan on putting in there? I mean, how many are they going to plan on building homes in that 3 acres?
It would be just this way would be one residential home lot that could go there. There's no immediate plans to build a house there today. It would be continued to be farmed for the short run. Anyways, I have no plans to build a house on either of those lots right now.
Okay, but if you did on that 3, you were just talking about one.
Yeah, one house. One house on each lot.
You could only build one house in the town of Randall and R2 zoning. He would have to subdivide it again, and that's not something that I think the town would be interested in. So you can only do one home. If it's all right if I speak, when the gentleman called me unhappy about this, again, it was after the fact of our meeting, I asked him, how does a 3-acre parcel affect you differently from a 5-acre parcel? And I really don't think he was able to give me a clear answer of how it would affect him. And I think when I thought about this zoning, I thought about that as well. Is how does this affect somebody anywhere in the area negatively, 3 acres versus 5 acres? And I can't think of a reason why it would.
Okay.
Which is why it was a reasonable request.
And I may potentially live on either one of those lots, and I set them up to the point where I would be comfortable living either or. And again, a lot of these lots you see nowadays, they're more like football fields where it's 150 feet of frontage and it's, you know, 900 feet. This is nicely spread out where, you know, all three of those lots in a row, including the one in Wheatland, is you know, they'll be separated pretty decently. And if I were ever to build on that lot, first thing I would do is put pine trees up, and I'd run a line along the property anyways to screen out. I think he has some trees planted there, but I mean, that's something he could do as well if he wants to have more of a rural look. Run a live row of pine trees out.
Okay.
A few years, we'll have a block.
Maybe you should buy it.
When he heard me that I was looking at subdividing, he did come and talk to me and said, "Hey, if you ever sell it, you know, I want first shot at it." like, okay, I said, I don't have any intentions of selling it right now, but I says, when I, if and when I look at selling it, you know, I'll let you know. But again, there's no immediate plans to sell any of it. And the immediate term is it's just going to be continuing to farm. And again, I'm looking really more for the flexibility that, you know, if at a later date I decide I want to move out there, you know, I have it all ready to go versus having to, you know, do a fire drilling, have a, you know, 6 or 9 or 12 month process to get it approved.
Thank you.
Yep.
So just adding, since now this did kind of catch up, and Shelly was able to pull up on hers the 1995 aerial photo, which this is not working well here, shows the house on this property here to have been built there. So that has been there for some time. And what I was trying to show earlier is, even though you have this wide ranging different sizes in the area, but you have these huge wetland complexes. So even though sometimes you have 20 plus or 10 acre parcels, the usable areas are much less. And on this particular property, it's almost all usable except for this little part here.
Okay. Do we have a motion for the comprehensive plan amendment?
I move the comprehensive plan amendment.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. This will be a roll call vote. We'll start with the youth and governance. State aye for in favor, state nay, not in favor. So, how do you vote on this? Youth and governance states aye. Actually, roll call is individuals here. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to call it off, April?
I got it, yeah. Bashaw?
Okay. Aye.
Franco?
Aye.
Gashke?
Aye.
Kubicki?
Aye.
Carroll?
Aye.
Okay, I just have it.
All right, thank you with that, because then we can move on to item number 6, which is David P. and Diane, is it L or I?
I.
I, okay, just want to make sure. Henderson Revocable Trust, 22832 Church Road, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 owner. David Henderson, 22832 Church Road, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139 agent, requesting a rezoning from A2 General Agricultural District to A2 General Agricultural District, R2 Suburban Single Family Residential District, and C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 604-119-132-0100, located in Town of Randall. And so now that we have the comprehensive plan, the rezoning, which is this map here, would be in concert with the approval that just took place. And you can see, as discussed, the area for R2, the area to remain A2, and then the wetland area, which was delineated, and then we'll have the proper zoning for that area.
Okay, and so we'll just handle these separately, if it should be good enough. Now, we don't need a roll call on this one.
So
just a comprehensive plan. Thank you for the clarification. So, we've already had the petitioner come forward, state what he's looking for, what's going on here. The, I guess what I would ask is, I think the next step would be is to see if there's anybody here to speak for it and against it. So, is there anybody here to speak in favor of the petition of the rezone? Is there anybody here to speak in favor of the rezone? Not seeing any. I'm going to ask if there's anybody here to speak against it. Is there anybody here to speak against the rezone? Is there anybody here to speak against the rezone? So, I'm going to note that I will, for the record, indicate that there was an email shown on the previous comprehensive plan amendment that probably applies for the zoning as well, if they wouldn't be in favor of it. So I'll put that in there for the record as well. And then the next step would be the town recommendation. We've already heard the town recommendation, but for the record, both the town board and the town plan commission voted in favor of the rezoning and the comprehensive plan. So, okay. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Other,
I'll make
other
a motion
questions?
To
okay.
approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the zoning change in a second. All those in favor, starting with youth and government, state aye.
Aye.
Committee members?
Aye.
Opposed? Zoning passes.
All right, and then the third item to go along with this is David P. and Diane L. Henderson, Revocable Trust, 22832. Aye. Road, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139. Owner, David Henderson, 22832 Church Road, Kansasville, Wisconsin, 53139. Agent, requesting a certified survey map on tax parcel number 604-119-132-0100, located in the town of Randall. And we've been looking at this, and so everything would be in concert for this to be moved forward. Our office would recommend, subject to the conditions that we handed out, that always take place, that I have to get everything buttoned up so that it can be recorded.
Okay. So we've already heard from the petitioner. Any other questions of the committee? Not seeing any. Is there anybody here to speak in favor of the petition? Is there anybody here to speak in favor of the petition? Not seeing anybody. I'll ask if there's anybody here to speak against the petition. Is there anybody here to speak against the petition? Not seeing any. I will note that the email, we did receive an email that was not in favor of the land division. The town recommendation is again for in favor of it for both the town board and the planning commission. The one thing I'm going to ask before I ask for the motion is that as a petitioner, have you seen the CSM, the conditions of approval? Do you have a copy of these?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's, and again, just for the record, there's a number one with letters A through J. And a couple of the important ones that we're always concerned with are whether the land would meet the sanitary code to be able to have a septic system on the site. It was stated earlier in the meeting that the soil borings were done on the project, on the parcel. I could see on the CSM, this preliminary CSM, that there are, in fact, three boring locations on each parcel. I was told that it does pass for the septic system. Andy shaking his head yes, so that's a good thing. One of the other things that I noticed too that I know we always ask for is the right-of-way dedication, and I did see on the CSM that they are dedicating the 33 feet of right-of-way along the frontage of the property on this. So, and then there's also a letter from the Department of Administration with a couple of points on there as well, too, that would need to get corrected for the CSM to be finalized. The rest of the information was just all part of the CSM. So, all right. So then I'm going to ask if there's a motion from any of the committee members or any other questions.
I move the item 7.
Okay. A motion by Supervisor Bashaw, second by
second.
Supervisor Franco. Sounds good. Any other comments, concerns of the committee? Not seeing any. Youth and Governance, how do you vote on this?
Aye.
Aye. They're both in favor of it. Committee members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries unanimously. So, all right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Instructions
for item
the county
number seven.
Board.
Approve. Are yep. there any minutes to approve?
If I can just so basically, so the comprehensive plan and the rezone does before the county board. You do not need to appear before them. The chair of this committee will present that to the county board, and we'll be able to answer any questions that they have. But once that takes place, then it goes before the county executive. County executive then signs the approvals, and when that happens, and then when your certified survey map has everything complete, then you'll be able to have that recorded.
Okay. What's the timeline usually for something like that?
Well, I mean, from our end, it's 2 weeks. Okay. On your CSM, it's up to your surveyor.
Okay. And then do I get some report back that says what I actually need again? What time was your time?
So everything you have is in the document that was sent to you, all the conditions.
Okay.
Yeah, and
That was also sent to your surveyor.
Okay.
If you have any questions, you can...
So I can work with Mark from your office?
Yes. If you have any questions, work with Mark.
Okay.
And then you'll receive letters from our office from April when everything's approved that'll legitimize what took place.
Okay. And then if there's so-called additional fees then for reporting and stuff like that?
You already paid that.
I already did.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Appreciate it.
You're all set.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you for coming and attending. So if you want to stay, we only have another minute or so, probably. Unless Andy gets long-winded.
I have some extra stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to make it fun.
All right. Do we have any minutes to approve as well?
July 12th, yeah.
July 12th,
I emailed them Monday or last week, Thursday. Somewhere in there.
Anybody to...
I move the July 12th minutes.
Motion by Supervisor Gashke, a second.
Second.
By Supervisor Kubicki. He beat you to it. All those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yig were included in that one, so. All right, opposed? Not seeing any. Citizen comments. My son Brecken's not here, so we shouldn't have any citizen comments. Any other citizen comments?
Dairy Queen should.
Any other citizen comments? All right, Andy, any other business allowed by law?
Yes, so we had our usually monthly public works meeting with the county executive, and we gave some updates, and she really wanted us to present these two items before the committee here, and so that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So the first item is actually, so it's a handout that in regards to tax delinquent properties that the county is working on that are contaminated. These are not all of them, but these are just three of them. So wanted to kind of give you an update on these because of the fact that we're working with the city of Kenosha on these. They're all in the city. And so these properties have been delinquent for some time, and we needed to take action to be able to get this done. It required some spending of funds to be able to do some phase one environmentals. And in regards to Hillside Hardware, which we did, we haven't done any work on number two, which is Rolls Road Auto Body, because we had a meeting with the DNR and WEDC yesterday, where we're going to be applying for some grants that would then allow for doing the additional phase one and phase twos and any other remediation and potentially even tackling some of the demolition. And that would be on Hillside Harbor and Rosewood Auto Body. 17th Court, the AKA Orange Ooze, if you ever heard of that, from which has been hanging around for almost 30 years, something that we've been working on for several years. We've been doing some environmental testing there, and now we're trying to get to over the hump and being able to get that cleared so that that property can be put into some type of development, at least a portion of it. And again, all these three require working with the city, and there's been discussions with the county executive kind of determining on whose role and ours is to kind of start out the process, and then it'll be moving into the city so that they can work with developers to develop these sites. They've done that many, many times. They have a lot of experience with working with contaminated sites. So I don't know if Shelley wanted to add anything else with all this.
Yes, if I could add, there was a referral on the last board meeting for a resolution to apply for WAM funding, which is Wisconsin assessment monies that are related to the Orange Blue site as well as the Roosevelt Auto Body Shop site. That would go forth to Public Works at their next meeting and Finance in early October, come back to the board mid-October. That funding will allow for phase ones to be done. There would be no cost associated to it for it from the county's aspect. The benefits of doing a phase one before you take title to a property keeps your CERCLA and your state liability exemptions for the existing contamination. So that's the benefits of doing a phase one. We will be applying for WAM funding where the DNR would come in and do those phase ones and report that back to the county, of which we could then take title if the county so decides to do that under the tax delinquency.
Okay, I have to ask. Orange ooze?
What is that? Where does that come from?
Yeah. Is there a story behind that?
There is a story behind that. So
they have Grace Julius on the
site. That's what I thought. Yeah,
so the Poreo Park, which is on the other side of the north side of the road there, it stretched, the contamination area stretched that whole length. And way back, there was some orange ooze that was oozing into the little stream that was north of Poreo Park at that time. And so that's where the name comes from. And then that started the whole process to look into where is it coming, what is the process that's going on here. And that's when they realized that there was some contamination in the area of Poreo Park, which has all been dealt with some years ago. But then as they followed this ravine that was filled in years past, they got down to this property, and it did not have that type of contamination. It was filled in with construction materials and other items. But there has been found some, I don't know what that was called. I can't remember. TCEs on the property just above the limits of contamination. And so that's where we're working through that process.
Which, if any of these properties are in process to be turned over to the city?
Which ones?
Yes.
I think the intent would be for all of them.
But none are in process yet, just intent.
Correct, right, because there's all these steps we need to take to be able to get to that point.
Okay. Because I know the agenda for finance, there's something there. So.
That's a separate purpose.
Okay, just
wanted to
make sure it wasn't one of
them. Okay,
thank you.
So these are all owned by the county now, all these properties? Because they're in city.
They're not owned. The Hillside Hardware and Rosemont Auto Body are not owned yet. See, we're going through this process to make sure because we don't want to take the liability. Mm-hmm. Of the number three, you'll see the three properties in red, those are owned by the counties. The rest of the ones have not been taken by the counties yet. Again, same reason, we want to go through this whole environmental process first. But when those properties were taken like 20 something years ago, there was no knowledge that at that time that there was any contamination, and so the county clerk at that time just took them through the normal process.
So Hillside is not owned by the county?
It is not.
And we will be taking possession, or we're just facilitating the front end of it so the city can then follow through and still have their protections in place for the property and the remediation process?
The logistics are still being worked out as to when it gets transferred, but we need to do the phase one before we take title.
We're taking title.
We, as a county, it has to start with the county taking title and then transfer it somewhere
okay,
to the
that's
state.
That's what I was
yes.
Because of the tax delinquency.
Because of the tax
delinquency. Okay. The county has the only ability to take the title because of tax delinquency.
Okay, got it. That helps. Thank you.
So on 17th Court, you said the three in red, which must mean the three.
There's five.
There's five. Oh, so all five in red?
There's county three owns. Blacks that we have right now, and then two more that we would take, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah, there's two, a large one to the south. I think, what is it, 1-4?
Four total.
I think it's four
okay.
Total. We're not exactly
there's
showing
one
the other ones.
Here. There's
yeah.
Two in here and then these two.
Is there under. I guess what my question is there other private ownership of these, of the lots, they're the small lots?
There is ownership, they're tax delinquent, so they haven't been paying taxes
okay.
For many years.
Over 20.
Ones, yes.
20 years?
Over 20.
Yeah, it's okay. The ones that come up on the rolls every time we look, it's like, well, what is going on with this?
So you're looking to take over basically everything here, the big lot to the south?
Correct.
And the right-of-way, the dedicated right of where the city has that.
The city will maintain.
The city will maintain the right of way still,
okay.
Unless they vacate that on their own.
And then it's all the other lots up and down
correct.
The side of it.
Correct.
Okay. And then what are we going to do eventually with this?
Well,
the city?
Dump it on the city.
It would be working with the city to try to develop the property in some capacity.
Okay.
Yeah, I drive by Hillside and I look at that. It's like, what a shame. It's just a great corner lot.
And these are just three, the three big ones that have been contaminated. We've dealt with some other ones, but you know, from the past when we had all these large lists of delinquencies, I mean, unless you start doing something, these contaminated properties will never get removed.
They just sit on.
And so a couple of years ago, we actually just started efforts to try to work with each one of them through their intricacies that each one has to try to get them moved.
Okay. So they're all delinquent. They've been delinquent for years. So I assume that they're not. No one's in these buildings, right?
Yeah, they're vacant.
Okay. I was about to say they could possibly have someone to have them 20 years. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So the normal process would be they would be put up for auction. Private individuals would purchase them, and then they would do what they want to do.
Right.
But they are not because of the contamination.
Correct.
Yeah, the cost to remediate exceeds the cost of the tax liability, so they just let it rot and walk away.
And we will have some other properties probably that we'll be presenting as well that are in the same situation.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
I still have one more.
Sorry, I'm a little faster, Andy. Come on.
Snuck that one in. I was boss.
Okay, so we decided. So there's when we had the County Trunk Highway S project with the widening, there were land purchases that were done to acquire the additional right-of-way. And then when the right-of-way was actually put into effect, there was remnant parcels that are on the map. And then I have a document that indicates the different lots and things of what to do with them. So there were values given to each one. And then John Moore from Corp Council was charged with reaching out to the property owners to see if they would be willing buyers, because we had recommendations of selling the lots to specific adjacent property owners.
Mm-hmm.
And except for, let's see, if you look at this map here, the kind of was smaller, it would be number two. That lot was sold to the adjacent property owners. Every other lot has not been. The only other lot that there is of interest, actual true interest from an adjacent property owner, is if you turn to the backside with the larger parcels. That blue one is lot number
five.
There's interest from the adjacent business, which is Metz Machines. That property, the sale of that would have to go before finance. The other properties have already been approved to be sold at whatever we could get for them. And I gave you a document of what we were asking for, and all the residents have declined because of the fact that they didn't want to take on, they felt they just didn't want to pay for it, they think that their taxes might go up too much. And so, in a sense, we're just kind of giving you information that we are now going to go back before those residents. We're going to try to show what the tax increase would be with that minor added on land, hopefully to show them that it's not a big impact. And then we would be looking to just transfer the properties for a dollar so that it would fall off the county ownership, and then the county does not need to maintain them anymore, because right now maintaining them ourselves is costing more than what it would be to be able to allow it just to get rid of it for a dollar and let the property owners cut it, maintain it, and then use it. So wanted to present this to the city so that you know what's kind of going on out there with these, and I guess if you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Yeah, quick question, comment, but parcel two on the side with smaller sites, did he begin development there? He's a deck builder, I believe. He was hot after it just about the time I was being elected, because the lady across the street was madder than a hornet.
You talking about the
small two?
Not familiar with that part, but that actually ended up getting subdivided between the two property owners because there was a driveway that crossed it.
Yeah. Okay. So,
yeah, all the other ones have not been dealt with.
Sure.
So
yeah, go ahead.
So
On the big side, item number five, are they taking on that property?
So there is an offer from them, and it is much less than with what we requested, and that offer will then be brought before finance to determine if finance committee wants to.
What did we ask for specifically, and what did they offer?
So that one.
Parcel five. Phase in the first one.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, five and six. So that one. $41,200 was the starting point. The counter offer, I believe, was $20,000.
I think Brian heard that.
Drove by it last night.
It would be.
So what does that?
Are you gonna make a bid or what?
What does that property entail? Yeah. Or is that those buildings are on that item five or not?
The buildings are all gone. It's completely vacant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing them in here, but yeah.
Yeah, the property has really no access on its own. It makes best sense for it to go to the adjacent property owner.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess finance is going to have to determine if that's a
reasonable offer
for that.
So the adjacent property to the north.
Say it again.
Adjacent to the north or south? Sorry, Ed.
North.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
To the north.
Because what it appears is that the property with the green roof there, and then the one where the intersection is, that those were purchased, and then you don't need all that for the right of way. So that
correct.
This is just the remnants from that purchase.
Correct.
Okay.
So again, this is really just all informational for everyone, just so that you're aware of these things that are going on.
And are these, what municipality are these located in?
It is the Village of Summers.
So, you know, for example, purchase number four and five on the smaller side, that's 0.93 acres. I mean, that really could be a residential lot, could it not be? No.
Yeah, the comprehensive plan is for commercial in that area.
Okay.
I think the other lot, now that you bring that up, four and five, that has to go before finance for sale because it has the highest value, the next highest value. Yeah. Yes. So we don't have any offers on that one yet, but that would be that would also go to finance. The other ones would not have to.
Are these all going to finance tomorrow?
No, they have not. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the other ones, you know, 14, 9, 7, I mean, those are all, there's really not any access. It's not of any size that is any real true value.
They're truly fragments.
And those really do look like fragments, yes. So like 4 and 5 on there, it's, you know, 0.93 acres. I mean, it seems like there's going to be some value to it, but the adjacent person must not be interested in it, so.
Can't force them.
No, at the same token, they are negotiating. They cut it in half, so they're looking for a counter, I would say.
Oh, that's the other one.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I think 4 and 5 are the ones that were actually could be looked at to be put up for sale on their own.
Yeah.
And then that sale would go before finance.
Well, thanks for saving paper by putting $20 worth of colored ink down one.
If it wasn't color, you couldn't make sense of it.
Yep, I see.
Being facetious, just lighten it up a little bit.
I see. It's
getting
late
in the day here, and I'm ready.
Are you concluded?
That is all I have.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor, state aye.
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 I'll just joke right now.